Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and today we continue in our new Friday series in the book of Titus. And just a quick note before we get underway, because this is a study edition, we will not be taking live phone calls today. However, the listener line is always open, so you can get your questions to us by voicemail at 844-322-2742. So if you have questions or issues you'd like us to discuss, well, if you hear something during the broadcast that you don't quite understand, well, we cordially invite you to call. The number's the same for the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. But for right now, it's time to get underway with our study, and here to do that is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. As you said, we are studying through the book of Titus today. Today is week two in our study. Last week was the introduction to the book of Titus, and we talked about the fact that this is a pastoral letter from the Apostle Paul to his son in the faith, Titus. Mm-hmm. Now, Paul was a Jew by birth. Titus was a Gentile by birth. So it's a marvelous picture of this mystery that Paul talked about, the fact that Jew and Gentile are now one in the body of Christ. And it really feeds into the title that I've given to this series, Finding Your Place in the Story of Grace. God has a place for each and every one of us, regardless of our background, regardless of our ethnicity. We can all find our place in God's story as we respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. And God will use us, will live his life through us in such a way to help open the eyes of others to see the marvels of God's love and grace and mercy and forgiveness, all found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul was giving instructions to Titus to help him in his mission, in his task on the island of Crete. Now, Crete is the largest island of Greece. It was a stopping point as ships would go through the Mediterranean, mm-hmm. and certainly it was a place where Paul stopped. And he was just there briefly, and he gave the gospel message, and then he left. And he didn't have the time to put to order the church. He didn't have time to establish a group of leaders. So he sent Titus to do that. And that's what this letter is really all about, is the instructions Paul was giving to Titus on how to order the church at Crete. So with that as a brief introduction, let's just dive in. We're going to start chapter 1, and we're going to go from verse 5 all the way through the end of the chapter. And so we're going to do this in two parts. And so let's just start with part 1, Titus 1, verses 5 through 9. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination, for an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Now, wherever sound doctrine is given, and we've seen this throughout the history of the church, there are going to be those who rise up to contradict it. That's just the way this thing works. There has never been a place on this planet where the gospel message was planted that as soon as it was planted, there was opposition mm-hmm. against it.
Yes.
That's just the way it's always been. That's the way it always will be until the Lord comes back and sets all things right. Mm-hmm. Now, so we just have to realize if we're going to be in ministry, if we're going to share the good news, there are going to be people who are going to try to contradict it. Yeah. There are going to be people who rise up in opposition against it, and they will attack you personally. They will do all sorts of things to try to discredit the message. So if a church is going to grow, if there is going to be a fruitfulness within a body of Christ, then that fruitfulness is going to happen with opposition surrounding. That's just the nature of this good news of Jesus Christ. So let's just break down. Let's just kind of go through this, these first four or five verses, verse by verse, and see exactly what Paul is trying to tell us. So we know Paul left Titus at Crete to put what remained in order and to appoint elders. Now, something about the island of Crete from those days, it was known for its degenerate culture. It was crude and rude, and that's how it was characterized. And so that culture was certainly negatively influencing the believers at that time. So they were not only being bombarded by false teaching, which we will see in just a minute, the culture itself wasn't conducive to the body of Christ. So it was a very debased culture. Now, Titus was to appoint elders. And elders, it's important for us to understand that the role of an elder is not so much in organization or administration. The role of the elder is more along the lines of protection. So the elder is to protect the purity of the message. So the elder is connected to the message brought to them by the apostles. They are to protect the sound teaching of the Word of God. And so whenever a lie starts to infiltrate the body of Christ, that's when the elder really gets into action to see it for what it is, to expose it for what it is, and to correct it. Mm-hmm. That was the role of an elder. So Titus was going to appoint elders. And Paul gave him a pretty good set of criteria to look for as far as elders are concerned. So they were to be above reproach. And it's interesting because he repeats this twice, that an elder is to be above reproach. So if you're looking for people to step in to be elders, these are the folks that you need to look for. So they need to be above reproach, the husband of one wife. They need to have, if they have children, they want the children to be believing children and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. In other words, we don't want elders who are wild and rebellious. Now, that takes people growing in the faith, and it takes time for these types of characteristics to grow in a person's life.
To develop, right?
Absolutely. So oftentimes we are very quick to thrust people of celebrity into leadership, for example, or we look at somebody and look at their influence that they've had in their life or their skills and talents, and we say, hey, they're a natural-born leader. Let's go ahead and put them in leadership roles. And we've never had a chance to really get to know them. And oftentimes, those folks, as they get involved in those leadership roles, their real heart starts to show, and it's not good. So we need to have a real concern in looking at people and really spending time with them to understand who they are as far as leadership is concerned. So Titus was to appoint these elders. They were to be above reproach. He repeats that. He says they're not to be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy. So here's some things that they need to be, and here's some things that you want to avoid. Anybody who's arrogant, who is prideful, that's not a part of this gospel of Jesus Christ. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So we don't want to find arrogant people to put into leadership. We don't want folks that are quick-tempered. We want folks that are slow to anger, who are slow to speak, but who are quick to listen. We don't want drunkards in those positions. We don't want people there who are prone to violence or who are greedy. Why? Because there are so many people in ministry pulpits today there because of their greed. Mm-hmm. They have found a way to pad their pockets through their prosperity message. Yeah. So they're greedy. So we don't want them to be those things, but we want them to be hospitable, lovers of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. Now, all of these things are fruits of the Spirit. This is the outflow of the Spirit's work in a person's life. So Titus was tasked with appointing elders in the various towns in the island of Crete. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get into the main reason for those elders in just a minute.
It's Basic Gospel, everybody. This is session two of our study through Titus, Finding Your Place in the Story of Grace. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and thank you for being with us, friends. I want to remind you also that when you share what God has blessed you with, you're not only helping to ensure Basic Gospel is able to pay its bills and stay on the air and online, you're literally reaching into the hearts and lives of people who need to hear of the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So we thank each one of you who returns a portion of what God has blessed you with to ensure that Basic Gospel continues to be available, and it will people will continue to hear this message of encouragement and assurance of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. As always, you can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Come on and partner with us.
Well, thanks, Bob. We do hope many people will partner with us and help get this good news to as many people as possible. We certainly live in unprecedented times hearts are ripe to hear. Mm-hmm. They're searching. They're asking questions. They're wondering about the emptiness inside of them and how to get that filled. And there's only one way to do that, and that's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's not miss this great opportunity to share this good news with as many people as possible. And you can help us do it with a donation today to Basic Gospel.
Again, at basicgospel.net.
Now, as far as Titus appointing elders, we get here in verse 9 of Titus chapter 1, kind of the real reason for elders, why they're so vitally important, why they're necessary even today. The elder must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught. Now, that's a key quality, a key characteristic that every elder needs to possess. We're not here to teach. Elders aren't here to teach new information, new revelation, new truth. We are simply here to teach what's been delivered to us from the apostles,
right,
from the Lord Jesus Christ as the foundation, through the apostles and the prophets. That's the word of God that's been delivered once for all to the saints. And it's that word of God that will free us from sin and death, that will free us to live a life of in the newness of Christ's resurrection. Okay, so there's this message, and you can't change the message. And so we want people to serve as elders who are going to stick to the message, who are going to stick to the basics, who are always going to teach the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the ascension of Jesus Christ. Those four elements make up the gospel. And so we want people who are fully committed to that message. We see a lot of folks who receive Christ, who are so excited about the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ, and they shout it from the rooftops for months on end. And then all of a sudden they get bored with Jesus, and they go off to other kinds of messages, and they grab a hold of all kinds of newfangled stuff, and they wonder why some months or years later they're all messed up. Well, why? They left the simplicity and the profound teaching concerning Christ. There's nothing more that we need. Once we found Christ, we found in him everything. So these elders must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught. And here's the reason why: so that they may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine. So we want elders who can teach sound doctrine, who will know the truth, and who are willing to communicate the truth. And then we want elders to also rebuke those who contradict it. Why? Because wherever the gospel is preached, opposition is going to come against it.
Sure.
That's just the way it is. So we need people who know the truth, and in knowing the truth are able to pick up error, lies, erroneous teachings when they come in, and they are able to rebuke it with authority, with the authority of the apostles and prophets who brought the word to us. Okay? So that is the purpose of an elder. And it's an exciting purpose. And it has to do with message. We need a group of people who are interested in the message of Jesus Christ, who will stand up when somebody tries to move people away from the truth of the gospel. Exactly what Paul did with the Apostle Peter. He confronted Peter to his face for the sake of the gospel. Why? Because Peter, in choosing to distance himself from Gentiles because of his fear of the Jewish leaders, was saying something about the gospel that wasn't true. And Peter and Titus show in their partnership in ministry the truth of the gospel, that it is both for Jew and Gentile. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And anyone who is saved is added to the body of Christ, and they stand together as one. Well, Peter was saying that, no, we have to be separate. We have to go our separate way. Sure, we're excited that the Gentiles have the gospel, but we need to let them do their thing, and us Jews over here, we're going to do our thing, and never will we meet. Mm-hmm. Well, that was something that was saying a hypocritical statement about the gospel of Jesus Christ. What did Paul do? Well, as an elder, as an apostle, he confronted Peter to his face so that people would not be pulled away from the truth, so that people could stand together side by side, could fellowship one with another as Jew and Gentile.
Yes, indeed.
That's what an elder is for, to hold forth the word as taught, to give sound instruction, and to rebuke those who contradict it. So that's an exciting role for an elder, isn't
it? I'll say it is, yes.
Well, let's keep going. Let's go to part two of this particular chapter, verses 10 through 16. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision
that
party.
That says something right there, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Now, they must be silent, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. Now, one of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. There's the characteristic of the Cretans. That's what they were like. So that's what this church was growing up in this type of culture. And Paul says this testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. Now, you and I, as believers in Christ Jesus, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We've been made fit to have the works of God flow through us into the lives of others. Well, these who are unfit for any good work, they're lost.
Yeah.
They've never been saved. So what's the role of the elder? To point that out and then to invite them to enter into this fellowship with Jesus Christ and God the Father through faith in the good news. So let's just talk about this. Let's recognize that there is going to be, that not everyone is going to be on board with the message and the purpose of the church. Wherever a church is started, wherever a group of believers meet and they start to assemble and they start to spread the message out beyond them, they're going to run into opposition. They're going to find people who are not on board with the message of Jesus Christ or the purpose of the church. And they're going to rebel, they're going to be empty talkers, and they're going to be deceivers. Now, for the time being, as far as Titus was concerned, as far as the believers at Crete were concerned, they made special warning against those from the circumcision party who were coming in and saying, hey, you need to follow the laws and customs of Moses in order to be a real Christian. Well, what did Paul say about them? They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not teach. That's not in accordance with the truth. That's not in accordance with sound doctrine. And lies upset whole families.
Sure.
It upsets individuals. It upsets whole families. It can disrupt and disturb whole communities if people start buying into those lies and accepting them as truth. So those who are bringing lies into the body of Christ, they need to be silenced. Now, one of the Cretans, we said that, this was their, you know, characteristic. Now, they were devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth. So they were buying into the lies that were being brought to them. And in so doing, they were turning away from the truth. So they were saying, this gospel, it sounds good, but we're going to turn away from that, and we're going to grab a hold of these other things. Now, to the pure, all things are pure. Well, who are the pure? Well, you and me. You and me. We're the pure. Our hearts have been made pure in Christ Jesus. We've been given a new heart. I love what the writer of Hebrews says. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So when we come to faith, guess what happens? Our consciences are purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. We can let go of those works of the law. We can let go of those works of the flesh. We can rest in the finished work of Christ. We can offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to allow God to do his work in and through us. We can truly serve the living God from a pure heart. So to the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Their minds and their consciences are defiled. They're dirty. And they're dirty, and because of that, they're distant from God. They're not bringing truth. They don't know God. They don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know the truth of his love and grace. They've never experienced the forgiveness of sins. They don't know the way of righteousness and the way of grace. So if they don't know those things, they can't teach you about those things.
Yeah.
So they're going to bring things into play that are not true, and that if you buy into it, it will turn you away from the truth. Now, here's the real rub. They profess to know God. They give lip service. They talk about it. But they deny him by their works. So if you truly believe something, it's going to show up in your actions. That's just the way it is. Believe something at the very core of who you are. It's going to shape who you are in every area of who you are.
Certainly.
So they were giving lip service, but they were denying what their lips were saying by their very actions. And what does Titus, what does Paul say about them? They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. So what's the role of the elder with those people? It's simply this, to proclaim Jesus.
Yeah.
To say, hey, here's the truth. Here's a new way of life. And it's available to you by grace through faith in Jesus.
Thank you, Bob. Wonderful, wonderful message today, the second session of our study through Titus. And friends, I'm glad that you were with us today to hear this. If you have questions about anything that you've heard here on Basic Gospel, or if life issues arise, give us a call over the weekend at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you and answer your question or address your concern on Basic Gospel. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Also, remember to join Bob Christopher Sunday mornings online for Sunday Morning Live. That's 9:30 Central Time, and you'll find direct links at the top of the homepage at basicgospel.net, Facebook and YouTube links right there, again, at the top of the homepage at basicgospel.net. That's 9:30 Central Time, Sunday Mornings Live with Bob Christopher. Well, now for Bob and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, wishing you a wonderful weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.